Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Anyway, Lashana Tova, brothers and sisters, today is Yom Kippur, and today is the sixth commanded feast of the Lord, found in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 to 32. Number six is a number that represents man, and Yom Kippur is all about God and man. In Israel, it's a national day of repentance from past years' sins and transgressions. It is the day to secure our relationship with Adonai Elohim and with one another. It is the culmination of 10 days of awe, 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Traditional observant Jews and Messianic believers reflect on the past year's events and try to make everything right with God and one another before Yom Kippur begins. The hope is that we will receive forgiveness for all of our sins and transgressions, and everything will be wiped away and we'll be given a clean new slate for the start of a brand new year. It's also hoped that as a result, names will be put in the Lamb's in the Book of Life for another year. But we as Messianic Jews and believers know that when we come to trust in Yeshua, we get our names inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. So this is our time. Yom Kippur is our time to teshuva, to return, and to get a kind of a spiritual tune-up from the Lord and draw closer to Adonai Elohim. Amen? So leading up to this Day of Atonement, many of us in this congregation have been gathering together electronically for prayer and increasing our reading of the Word. And I've read through the Word dozens and dozens of times in my life. But every time I read it, new things pop out at me. And this year is no exception. I got what's been popping out at me for months is every time I read the words, the kingdom of God. So that is, I need my title slide, Yami. Slide number one. There you go. It's the kingdom of God is the name of the message. So 2 weeks ago, what does Rabbi preach about the kingdom of God? And I just about it means he means it. It's established. So I pray today, Father, that you will establish what you want in the hearers of those that hear this word today. Amen. Amen. So as I meditated on what does the kingdom of God mean, I also asked myself, is this part of the good news, the gospel message? Is it important for us to even understand what it is? Does it refer to the future when we get to live in heaven? Or does it also apply to us here today? Well, here are some scripture verses I'd like to look at to get started. John 3:3. Yeshua is speaking to Nicodemus, a leader of the Pharisees. understanding that Yeshua had come from God, he wanted to know how Yeshua was able to do the things that he did. And Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In one of Yeshua's teachings, he was telling his Talmudim not to fear and not to worry about any of their earthly needs. He said, and this was Rabbi's scripture, "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you." And in other translations, this is the Tree of Life, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Don't worry. He says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father chose to give you the kingdom." Yeshua is telling his Talmudim in Matthew 24:14 about what it will take place in the future. And he said, "The good news of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Yeshua leaves his Talmudim with these instructions before he ascends to heaven. And Yeshua came up to them and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, immersing, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do you see how the kingdom of God is popping up in different places in these scriptures? Does it make you wonder what that might mean, what the kingdom of God means? You can nod your head if you agree. That's helpful. Because it really did that for me. According to my study, in the New Covenant alone, the phrase kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven appears 150 times. These terms are explained as meaning one and the same, as found throughout the scripture, old and new. So what is the good news of the kingdom? Going on in my research, I decided to ask my friends about what that might mean. And almost everyone I asked said it was the message of salvation, that through trusting in Messiah Yeshua, all past sins can be atoned for and forgiven and will be granted the gift of eternal life. And that's the best news any human on the planet can receive and respond to. Here's the message, the gospel message in my own word. And I want you to remember, as I'm reading this to you, the way I would tell it, I had a career of teaching young children. So, on the sixth day of creation, God made mankind, male and female, and called them Adam and Eve. He gave them a place to live, God Eden. And he commanded them, "Be fruitful and multiply." And then he gave them authority over all he had made. He visited with them when they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going to and fro in the garden in the wind of the day. And he had intimate relationship with them, personal fellowship with Adonai Elohim. I used to tell my kindergarten students that God made us last because he loved us the most. And he was lonely and he wanted a family. One day Eve was deceived by HaSatan, the adversary himself, poised as a serpent. He convinced her to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only tree God had commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from. She disobeyed Adonai Elohim's instructions, and she gave some to Adam to eat. This one act of disobedience changed everything. Sin and death entered into the world, a dark power that's been working on mankind ever since. Sin always brings separation between mankind and a holy God. Now they had knowledge of good and evil. They realized they were fully exposed and naked. They felt shame for the first time, and they hid themselves from God. Their disobedience not only caused separation from fellowship they had with Adonai Elohim, but it brought grave consequences to the future of all mankind ever since. That's really bad news for sure. But just the same, God loved them, and he provided clothing to cover their nakedness by killing an innocent animal to provide the skins. This animal's life covered more than their nakedness and shame, for the Torah says, life is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Leviticus 17:11. Since the beginning, Adonai Elohim has always required blood for the atonement of sin. And this was the first time that an innocent animal had to die as a substitute sacrificial offering for the sins that they had committed. They could no longer live in Gan Eden. The Lord sent his angel to guard the entrance to prevent anyone from ever returning there. For if they now ate of the fruit of the tree of life, they would live forever in this state of sin. But God didn't turn his back on mankind. Adonai Elohim had a plan to restore what was lost and bring us back to that place of fellowship with him. And for the next 3,000 years, he continued to watch over his creation, trying to get our attention. He established a covenant with his people through the Ten Commandments and the Torah. He sent judges, prophets, kings to foretell his plan and to lead his people in repentance in many ways and at many times. There would be blessings for obedience, but grave hardships for turning away from Adonai Elohim. They also spoke of one coming who would redeem them back to God, the Messiah. Only Yeshua fulfilled every word spoken of him through the prophets of long ago. And in the fullness of time, as the prophets foretold, God sent his son, Messiah Yeshua, to willingly die and shed his blood to atone for every sin that would be committed by mankind once and for all. By trusting in Yeshua's sacrifice of his own life, the blood not only covers our sin like the skins did, but it completely removes them away from us as far as the east is from the west. We experience a new spiritual birth and a fresh, clean slate by being born again. We become part of his redeemed family. He restores back to us that intimate relationship that he had with Adam and Eve in the beginning. We receive the gift of the breath of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who helps us to follow him. And then we receive the gift of eternal life as our names get written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This good news is truly remarkable, and it is the ultimate fulfillment of Yom Kippur. Well, this was the good news message most of my friends told me in answer to my question, what does the gospel mean to you? What does the good news mean to you? And that's how we've been taught to respond. But I'm here to say today, that's not the whole good news. No. Let's look back to what Yeshua told Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who wanted to follow him. In John 3:3, Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless you are born from above," which has to come first, "you cannot see the kingdom of God." The italics and the bolding are mine, so we're not on the right slide there. We're on slide 8. I'm going to keep going, so listen. So If he says we cannot see the kingdom of God unless we're born again, what are we supposed to see? Well, in order for there to be a king, there has a kingdom, there has to be a what? Oh, you're so smart. Even before the creation of the world, there was God, Adonai Elohim, the fullness of the Godhead. He is the sovereign one who existed, and through him, everything was made. And because he made everything, everything belongs to him. As Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, his authority, his government, and is absolute, whether or not we choose to believe it. And I'm going to tell you that choosing not to believe the truth will not make it go away, nor will it negate it in any way. So on the sixth day of creation, it's written in Genesis, then God, Adonai Elohim, said, let us make man in our own image. Who is Adonai Elohim referring to when he says us and our? Well, I used to think that there was this big conference room up in heaven, a table, and there was God, and there was Yeshua, and there was the Holy Spirit, and they were all having this conference together about creation. But this year, as I was writing this, all of a sudden I had this picture in my head of one God. Just one. And out of his mouth he spoke, let us make man in our own image. It was profound. In the kingdom of God, there is only one king, and there is only one rightful heir to the throne of the king, and that belongs to the Son. And that's how it works. That's how it is in every nation that is ruled by a king, even in the world today. God's kingdom is not a democracy where we get to choose who's going to lead us or who we're going to follow. Yeshua ben Elohim, Jesus the Son of God, is the only rightful heir to this kingdom. King David recognized it. Are we on slide 9? Yep. Praise the Lord. Adonai declares to my Lord, writes David. Who is David's Lord? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Agur, the son of Yekah, recognized it when he penned this in Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has gathered the winds in the palm of his hand? Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? The Magi recognized it at Yeshua's birth and came inquiring, where is this one born King of the Jews? At Yeshua's execution, Pilate recognized it by having the sign nailed to the stake. This is Yeshua at his death, the King of the Jews. The thief, receiving the same death sentence that Yeshua endured, recognizing it, said to Yeshua, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The centurion recognized it at the moment Yeshua died, seeing the darkened skies and enduring the earthquakes, and said fearfully, surely this was the Son of God. It seems the only ones that didn't recognize who he was, were the religious leaders who held fast to their traditions more than understanding the words of their own Tanakh, the words of the prophets about who he was, where he would be born, how he would die, and about his coming kingdom, which things Yeshua proclaimed, preached, and taught about during all his years of his earthly ministry. Of all the people in the world, the religious leaders should have been the ones to recognize it. Now, if there's a kingdom, if there's a king, there has to be a kingdom, right? It's got to have a kingdom. It's going to rule. According to scriptures, there are only two kingdoms. the kingdom of this world and its ruler, which is the kingdom of darkness, death, hopelessness, fear, and is built on lies and deceits, and the kingdom of this world is passing away. The other kingdom, that's the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of light built on righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth. A kingdom where God and his government and authority eternally rule. It's a kingdom that will never pass away. These two are and have always been an eternal conflict with one another. Here's a mystery of its own. For everyone who's already put their trust in Messiah Yeshua, even though we are in this world, we are not of it. This world realm has no eternal or spiritual authority over his rule in your life. Let me say that again. This world, this worldly realm, has no eternal spiritual authority that can contradict the rule that he has over your life. These two are opposed to each other in every way. It's like the book that titled War of Two Worlds. Got the right title, the wrong text though to the book, the wrong story. We cannot have one foot in this worldly kingdom and one foot in the kingdom of God because it will not work. And today is an excellent day if you find yourself in that place to repent of that and to choose either you're in or you're out. And if God is truly the only Lord of your life, now is not the day or time to be standing on the fence. The kingdom of God is also an unseen kingdom. There are no road signs, maps, GPS telling you how to get there. It's not a physical location. In Luke 17:20, slide 10, now when Yeshua was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with signs to be seen, but it's as real as you or I." Go ahead, pinch yourself to see how real you are. He has called, listen to this, he has called, chosen, commissioned, and positioned each one of us to believe, to dwell in, and to proclaim this kingdom. Are you ready for more? There is a much bigger picture here. The kingdom of God is an ever-expanding kingdom. Try this. Imagine a piece of fruit, an apple. There. This picture represents you at the moment you choose to put your trust in believing in Yeshua, that he's Ben Elohim, the Son of God. You've just been born again, and you've just been transplanted from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. But that's not the end of the gospel message, as most of my friends said. Because if the picture were to become bigger and expand outward, what would come next? There you are. Your fruit on a branch. Now your life is no longer your own, guys. You've been redeemed and you've been grafted into his kingdom. This grafting is not for Jewish people only, it's for Gentile people alike. In fact, it's for all people everywhere. So guess what? Something comes next. Now you've been adopted into a new family, the family of God. He calls us his sons and his daughters, and in Romans 8:17, it says we're joint heirs with the Messiah in his kingdom. As part of the family of God, you acquire all of the rights, all of the privileges, all of the benefits by the right of your adoption. There's more. You're not only grafted in, adopted, joint heirs, privileged sons and daughters, but now you get to rule and reign with him. He has given you the right and his authority to subdue his enemies and power over all the works of darkness. Amen? And, big and here, to release blessings in his name. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this is a key. This is a key. Look at your hand. You hold this key. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Whatever is not permitted in heaven, whatever is not his will, he has given you the authority in his name to forbid and to bind on this earth and in the lower heavens where the demons dwell. You have been given authority in his name to bind and forbid disease, sickness, death, poverty, fear, depression, helplessness, hopelessness, addictions, failure, ungodliness, unrighteousness, injustices, all the things that are not permitted in heaven, you can bind or forbid in his name. And in the same manner, whatever is permitted or allowed in heaven, he has given you all the authority in his name to loose on the earth and to the people that you pray for life, forgiveness, love, joy, gladness, peace, light, wellness and healing, deliverance and protection, freedom through salvation, a sound mind, wisdom, direction, righteousness, justice, mercy, the supply of all of our needs according to his riches in glory, as we cry out to the King of Kings on our own behalf and on behalf of others that we pray for. And then he's given us all the gifts, 22, I believe, or more, of the Holy Spirit to equip us to do what he's called us to do. And this is just the short list, guys. He's given us all power and authority to do the things Yeshua and the early disciples did in his name with signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Why? To confirm the word of God that he is who he says he is, to bring him all the honor and glory that he deserves, and to worship him, for he is worthy. He is worthy. Amen? Now, he's commissioned us to go into all the world, the entire world, to preach this good news of the kingdom in his name to all people, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. And the good news of the kingdom must be preached to every nation before the end. Amen? Finally, and the best news is for last, we receive the promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God, where we will be with him forever and ever. Can you see how the kingdom of God is an ever-expanding kingdom? It just goes on and on. Isaiah said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore, the zeal of Adonai Sevaot will accomplish this. Adonai Sevaot, the Lord of hosts. Ready for this one? Yet as vast and comprehensive as the kingdom of God is, the scripture teaches that the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21, nor will they say, see here, looking for it, or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The good news of the kingdom of God goes well beyond the message of salvation. It begins there, but it extends beyond even what I've been able to talk about in this short message today. Many of us have prayed over the years for the to be restored, to be like the Book of Acts church, that we would be like the early disciples. We've wanted to live and see the signs, wonders, and miracles that they saw. You know what? They were the ones that turned the world upside down. When Yeshua commissioned them, he told them that if they believed, and if you believe, by faith in Adonai Elohim, that they would do the things they saw him do and greater things than these. Through the power and authority of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit within them, they were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the word in power to the masses, spread the good news of this kingdom, establish new congregations. Peter got transported to meet the eunuch. He just got put from one place to another. They got delivered out of the darkest prisons by earthquakes and by angels. They endured hardships, beatings, persecutions. And yet they completed the testimony, the writing of the new covenant, through letters and their eyewitness accounts. And we can't leave out John's revelation of things to come at the end of the age. And that's our commission too. Do you believe that? Amen. I want to speak first to those who are listening today who have not yet made the decision to trust in Yeshua ben Elohim. I hope and pray that today will be the beginning of a whole new way of life for you, that you will choose to step out of the kingdom of darkness and step over into the kingdom of God by putting your faith in the only one who has the ability to forgive you and take away all your sins and transgressions, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. God's love is deeper still. I hope that you will choose to be transplanted today into the kingdom of God and to his everlasting righteousness. My hope is today, too, that your name will be inscribed forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you have made that, if you are here and have made that decision, I just ask you to come forward after so we can welcome you into the family. I also want to speak to those of you today who have given your lives to the King of Kings, but you've allowed the cares of this world, the cares of life, and the deceitfulness of riches to rob you of your complete inheritance in Adonai, in Messiah. My hope and prayer for you today is that you will choose to quit having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Believe me, they don't mix. You are being deceived. There is no compromise in the Lord. You're either hot or cold for him. You're either in or you're out. I pray that today you will step over that mindset to step out fully and to wholly commit your life and your heart to the Lord before the Lamb's Book of Life is closed and sealed permanently and it's too late. For my dear brothers and sisters who've been co-laboring together in the kingdom of on this earth, my hope and prayer for you today is that you've gotten some new insight this morning and strengthened your faith to seeing the bigger picture of what the kingdom of God is. I hope you've been able to see that. My hope today is that you will step over the old ways of shyness, of false humility, of keeping silent and holding back when you know you should have gone and declared the kingdom of God and the power of God to those that God has put before you. I pray that today you will step over to a renewed trust and confidence and resolve to go forth boldly in his name, fully understanding that you are his sons and his daughters, and you have that power and authority that he has given to you to release this kingdom to all who have need. You hold these keys. You hold these keys. Let's do this together to end. Let's stand, because I want to pray. God knows our hearts. Today, I believe we're going to see the beginning of some real change in our lives. As I pray, I want you to do this. You can practice this now. I want you to take a little step to the side. And this represents your desire to come out of the things that have held you back from fully following and serving the King of Kings. And then I want you to take a little step forward to demonstrate your desire to grow more in your understanding of what the whole good news is all about. The whole good news, the bigger picture, the fully expanding kingdom. And I want you to do all of this while I pray with your eyes closed. Okay? So now you've practiced the steps, you know what to do. Lord Yeshua, I thank you for speaking individually into the hearts of everyone hearing this word today. I pray, Father, for the unbeliever, those who have heard the word and want to put their trust in Yeshua, that today they will step out of their old way of thinking and step over into the kingdom of your light, that they will make this bold step to say, I want to trust in you, Lord. I ask you to be the Lord of my life, and I give my life to you, all of its failures, all of the things that are ungodly, unholy. And Lord, today, by stepping forward, I know that I'm going to receive that clean new slate by being born from above, born again. And Lord, I pray for your help to lead me and to teach me, that I may follow you from today for the rest of my life. I give my life wholly to you. And for those that are double-minded, I pray this morning that you will step over the old mindset that you cannot have your feet in both kingdoms, but you will step out forward today to fully recommitting your life to the Lord, fully seeking him for the things he is telling you to lay aside, fully seeking him so that you may come fully in and boldly into his kingdom, because really you're being deceived and double-minded. And Lord has forgiveness for you. He's standing with his arms open wide this morning to receive you and to comfort you and to anoint you and appoint you for greater things than you could have imagined for yourself. If you believe and trust in him, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And for those that are co-laboring together, those that fully are invested in the kingdom, I pray for new boldness, new strength, Father. I pray that they will be like the disciples in the book of Acts, that they will know you have given them these keys, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to go forth boldly and declare healing and deliverance and whatever humanity needs, that you are bread, you are our daily bread, and they have bread to give to a hurting world. I pray for this strength, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will seal this word, that it will come boldly upon our lives, that we will meditate it. And I pray, Lord, as you did for me, that every time I started reading in the New Covenant, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, Lord, you really pricked my heart and showed me this is so much more than salvation. It's everything. It's your kingdom. And Father, we thank you and praise you that you've called us your sons and daughters and joint heirs in this work. Father, we ask you to seal this word in Yeshua's name. Amen.